the stability of hell. I want to talk about the two men, and then I want to talk about two places, and then I want to end this by talking about the stability of hell. Number one, the two men that you find in the text. There is the rich man, and there is Lazarus. Now, the first thing that you need to understand is that no kind of social status had anything to do with either one of them ended up. Jesus is not saying that all rich men will find themselves in hell. Amen. Jesus is not saying that all poor beggar folk are going to find themselves in heaven. There's a lot of poor folk that are going to find themselves in hell. There's a lot of rich folk that are going to find themselves in heaven because they serve the Lord Jesus Christ and they love Him with all of their heart. What Jesus is addressing is this. And in fact, if you will notice up in verse 14, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who had covetousness in their heart. In other words, they were greedy. It wasn't the fact that the rich man had the wealth. It was the fact that he was greedy with the wealth, and he was never satisfied with the wealth. And then all over and over again, he kept saying, I've got to have more, and I've got to have more, and I can't have enough of the things of this world. And forget about God. I don't have time for God right now. And that's what some folks all over this world have said. I don't have time for God right now. I don't have time to serve the Lord. I've got to get what I can get. I've got to gain, and I've got to grow, and I've got to do all the things that I can give, but I don't have time for God. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that hell and destruction are never full. So are the eyes of a man who wants more and more and more. Can I tell you, the fact of the matter was that not he was rich, but the fact he wanted more and more, but he didn't want the right thing. He didn't want God, and that's why he found himself in hell. Watch this, because here is the poor man. All we know about the poor man is, number one, he was a beggar. He was impoverished. He was in poverty. And he had sores upon him. And he was in pain. And the dogs would come and lick the sores that he had. He was in so much pain and suffering. But the Bible says that both men died and were buried. But bless God, I can take some hope this morning in understanding that even though down upon the earth that the dogs licked the man's sores, but I thank God that he's up in heaven according to the story that Jesus said. And now he's rejoicing around the throne of God, not having to worry about the dogs licking his sores or dealing with the struggles and the pains of this world. But bless God, he's rejoicing. Doesn't matter what I go through in this life, I thank God I'll go through some pain, I'll go through some suffering, but I'll receive a rejoicing and a reward of bearing glory. Thank God for this. And so you have these two men. You have the rich man, and you have the beggar. Can I tell you, there is also two places in this story. There is what we call Abraham's bosom or paradise. I believe this is what we call paradise. I don't believe it's the full extent of the glories of heaven, but I believe to an extent it is called paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not later on, not in the resurrection, but today you will be with me in paradise. Thank God there's a place called paradise. Can I tell you, Brother Jimmy and those that have gone on before, they're in a place called paradise. Rejoicing around God to this morning. Amen. He's hearing the good stuff. Amen. You all have got to hear a message on hell, but he's hearing the good stuff and rejoicing around the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. And just as much, come on now, help me somebody, because this is the only time you're going to get this out right here. Because can I tell you, just as much as there is a stability in a place called hell, I thank God this morning there is stability in a place called heaven. I thank God that heaven is real. Thank God that heaven is eternal. Thank God that heaven is everlasting. There is a real place called heaven. Thank God that it's real. And it's like Jesus said in Luke's Gospel chapter 6, that men are going to come and they're going to hate you and they're going to persecute you. But rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward where? In heaven. Hallelujah. You ought to be able to rejoice this morning. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, don't rejoice because you've got the serpents underneath your feet and the demons underneath your feet. Rejoice. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. I want to tell you, thank God there's a new name written in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Thank God. Paul said it this way. He said, for we know that if our earthly tabernacle be dissolved, he said, we have a building of God not made by hands. Eternal, oh God. See, you need to shout right now because it's going to get hot later. Can I tell you, we ought to rejoice in the faith. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, when this house, when it gives way and it shuts down, I got a new one over on the other side. I've got a new one. And bless God, I know Brother Craig's a good carpenter, but Brother Craig, you ain't working on the house I got over yonder. I know some of you can build boats in your sleep, but bless God, can I tell you, you can't build the house I got over yonder because the book says it wasn't made by hands, but by God Himself. Thank God for the realm of glory that we shall receive. He said this. Paul said this, according to his abundant mercy, that he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Incorruptible. Incorruptible. Undefiled. And fadeth, I hold a clear title to imagine that Jesus has gone to prepare and is reserved in heaven for you. Bless God, I made my reservations. And you try to let fire cannot harm it. Thieves can't touch it. Termites can't destroy its foundation. But bless God, because it's on the rock of ages. Oh my God, in heaven, no one will be able to put that house out over there. Jesus said, I'm going away now. He said, in my Father, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, you may receive me unto yourselves. Thomas said, well, how do we know how to find you and how to find the first place called heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've got the key to your apartment. I've got the key to your mansion in glory. I've got it. And the only way you can get it is to come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. I thank God this morning. I know where the key is because I know what the book says in Revelation when he went down into the place of darkness and grabbed the keys of death, hell. Oh, bless God. I know where they are this morning. My God in heaven, thank God that heaven is a real and a stable place. I can't stand some of this mamby-pamby mess that they want to talk about. Heaven is just heaven's not a real place. Heaven's just a little feel-good place. And you can listen to that Oprah nonsense if you want to. Oh, God is who you are on the inside. I beg to differ. I know that there's a real place called heaven, and it's stable, and it's secure, and it's eternal. But can I tell you, and God help your soul just as much as heaven is a stable place, hell is also a stable place. Just as if there is a reality of heaven, there is a reality of hell. Do you believe it this morning? How many of you are thankful this morning that hell is real, but that you're not going there? Bless God that we're saved from hell. At least seven times, Jesus refers to, and I started to turn the, some of that would have made y'all shout. Y'all might have started shouting if I turned the thermostat up to about 85, 90. I don't need it. I'd probably die, but some of y'all might have shouted. if I'd have turned it up to 85 or 90. But can I tell you, at least 7 times, Jesus referred to hell, and when he referred to hell, he referred to fire. He referred, in fact, in one place he said, it is better for you to walk around with one eye in this life now than to have both and enter into hell where there is a fire that will never be quenched. I'm telling you this morning, hell is a real place. James said it this way. James, oh God, this is going to get some of y'all in trouble. Not even get me in trouble. James said this, the tongue is a fire. Do keep on reading in James chapter 3. It says the tongue is a fire, and it is powered by hell fire. Every time, oh God, every time you lie, every time you gossip, every time you backbite, every time you talk and sow seeds of discord among the brethren, you are empowered by hell fire. And if you're not careful, you'll head to hell fire. That the tongue is a blazing fire. In the Mark's Gospel, of course, this is Jesus said, this fire shall never be quenched. The rich man is down in hell, and he said, Lazarus, I send Lazarus that he may what? He may tip the tip of his finger in the water, that it may touch my tongue, because I'm what? I'm tormented in these flames. You think it's hot right now? You think it's hot when when we're about 100 degrees here on Harker's Island? Can I tell you, there is a real place called hell, and it never shall be quenched. It never shall be. Well, who is in danger of hell? David said it this way. David said the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That the wicked, the guilty ones, well, I ain't never done nothing wrong. I ain't never done it. I ain't never killed nobody or cheated anybody. Can I tell you, you're wicked because of the fact that you're in your sins. There is a death mark upon you. I said it last week, and I'll say it again by the help of the Holy Ghost. There is a death mark upon your life. If you're a sinner in this place and you're headed straight for hell, my God, I wish you would get it this morning and understand that you don't have to go to hell. And hell is reserved for the wicked. Let me tell you something. Backbiters and backstabbers are in danger of hell. Backbiters and backstabbers. I looked it up, but I think a backbiter is those that would defame and speak evil of your character. That's a backbiter. But let me tell you something. David said it this way in Psalm 55. He said that someone betrayed me. And I want you to go back and look it up. Psalm 55. He said someone betrayed me and hurt me. And watch what he says. He says, if it were an enemy, I could have handled that. If it were somebody that I knew that hated me, Sister Gail, I could deal with that. But he said it was somebody that was of my acquaintance. My God, we walked, read the text in Psalm 55. We walked into the house of God. Come here, brother. Hand in hand, we walked into the house of God. Together, we rejoiced and had fellowship. But yet you turned and stabbed me. He said, let death seize upon him and let him go down to hell. Let me tell you something. Let me relate it this way. Because we got some young folk in the Lord. Jesus said it this way. It would have been better if you had taken a millstone and tied it around your neck. Oh, God. And you cast yourself
in the depths of the sea than to hurt these little ones that I've saved and I've called. You had better be careful what you're doing and what you're saying and how you're going to hurt these ones and tell them what your 2 cents worth is. Your 2 cents doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter at all. This is the authority of the Word. And we had better be careful how we teach them and tell them and talk to them. Solomon said it this way. He said that those that, and I don't know if we do or not, but I'm just going to say it because I found it in the Word. Those that entertain prostitutes are in danger of hell. You know what he said? Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. I think it's chapter 7 and chapter 9. That he says this. He says, if you want to entertain prostitute, he says, her house is the way to hell. I cannot categorize that under some other things as well. Any kind of immorality or any kind of thing that you would find yourself catching in. We live in a world of internet and all kinds of other things that are on television and computers. And I'm not preaching to go out and shoot them, even though sometimes I feel like it. Can I tell you though, you had better be careful what you get involved in, because her house is the way to hell. Her house is the way to hell. Jesus said that the religious and the Pharisaical and the hypocrites are in danger of hell. I didn't say it. Jesus said on one occasion that you have, in fact it's in Matthew's Gospel chapter 23, you have my permission to look it up, it's in the Word. Jesus said that you've stolen land and sea to find one proselyte and one convert. And because of your religiosity, and because of your Pharisaical rules and regulations, you have made them a twofold more child of hell than of yourself. Can I tell you, we had better be careful and we better live in the book of grace and mercy and love. My God, Jesus condemned the Pharisee. Same chapter. He says that you pride yourself on your outward appearance. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You want to take beef with it? Take beef with him. Said you pride yourself on the outward appearance, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and of sin. Let me tell you something. I believe in holiness. And I believe in living right. I believe in looking right. Bless God, I believe in acting right. I believe in talking right. I can't see how people can look holy and can't talk holy. I got a problem with people that can look holy, but yet out of their mouth they're gossiping and backbiting and tearing somebody down. That's not why we're here. We're here to edify and lift up and build up. And Jesus said that you've made the outside of the cup clean, but on the inside you're like whitewashed tombs, and you're in danger of hell. I thank God I don't serve a religion that all they want is something clean on the outside. But bless God, I thank Jesus they made me clean on the inside. But it made me clean. It made me whole on the inside. And if you... Jesus didn't play. He didn't play. When he talked to the Pharisees, he told them, he said, you're condemned, and I'm just going to pick it, you're condemned to hell because of all of your Pharisaical activities and all of your legalism and all of your rules and your... You can't even follow them yourself. Jesus said it, I didn't. You can't even follow them yourself. How do you think you're going to get somebody into heaven? You're going to make them a twofold my child of hell than you yourself. Can I tell you, you're in danger. Can I tell you who Can I really tell you who hell is reserved for? I mean, hell is reserved for all of them. But hell is really reserved for Satan. I see you ought to rejoice right there. Because in one place, the book said, in Isaiah, Satan said, I will ascend up unto the Most High God. And I will be like the Most High. And I will lift up and be exalted. And I'll be better than God. And I'll be stronger than God. And I'll be all of these kind of other things. I'll be lifted up into the Most High. And God looks at him and says, no, you're going to be brought down to the lowest hell. Can I tell you, I'm excited this morning. I know it's a message on hell, but I'm excited this morning because I read the back of the book. And I know what they do with the old buzzard. I know they take him by the nape of the neck and cast him into the lake of fire so that he can get a little bit of his own medicine that he's been dishing out to you. Somebody, see, you ought to have rejoiced right there. Because what you need to understand is that while the devil's in hell, at some point in time, God is going to give him arthritis. Somebody ought to rejoice right now because at some point in time, while the devil's in hell, he's going to live with cancer. At some point in time, while the devil's in hell, he's going to have AIDS and the common cold and everything else that he's been dishing out to you is going to get him on his own self.
And because of this, here, there is a Negus Cosma study zone. There is a great gulf fixed, permanent, that if you wanted to leave hell, you couldn't. And if you wanted someone to come from the other side to minister to your tormented flames, they can't leave. Because that excites me about heaven, to know that I ain't got to worry about falling into hell. There is a There is a great gulf that is fixed and it's permanent. Can I tell somebody in this place? Hell is not moving for you. Hell is not backing down for you. Hell is not, I don't care if you are the son of a preacher or you go to this church or you're a member and you've been a member of 15 different, hell is not moving for you. There is a great gulf fixed.
I don't care how much you come and listen to good preaching. Hell is not moving for you. Doesn't matter how much you hear good singing. Hell is not moving for you. I don't care how good you are. Hell is not moving for you. Doesn't matter how moral you are. Hell is not moving for you. Doesn't matter how righteous you think you are. Hell is not moving for you. It is permanent. But bless God this morning, I can move away from hell. Do you remember what it was like to be a sinner? We're living wrong. But I'm a living wrong. But I'm going to imagine it was the same way for me. I'm on my road and way to hell. Okay? Hell ain't moving. It ain't moving. It's that wall. I don't care how much, unless you got a wrecking ball in here, I don't care how much I push on that wall, it ain't moving. But the more you stay in your sin, you keep creeping closer and closer and closer and closer to hell. Can I tell you something? Jonathan Edwards preached it this way. It is the mere pleasure of God that keeps
man out of hell. He said that if God were to let you go into hell and all of your righteous deeds and everything that was there, it would no more keep you out of hell. All of your righteous deeds would no more keep you out of hell than a spider thread would hold up a rock. Hell is not moving. When I was lost, I don't know about anybody else, some were born holy. But when I was lost, and when I was in sin, I was headed toward an immovable object that will not move. But one day, I met up with the blood. I met up with the blood. You know what the blood did for me? The blood created a U-turn. He created a U-turn. And then I was walking in the path of hell. But then I hit the blood. And bless God, a U-turn took place. It's called repentance and walking away. Now I'm walking away to a new immovable object called heaven. And it shall not be known. Thank God for that place. Oh, thank God. I'm getting out of here. We were living in Mount Olive. And we were driving around. Kim and I, this was the first time we'd ever been to Mount Olive, first time we'd ever been to Goldsboro. And we did not realize when we hit 13 that we were driving toward the Air Force Base. We drove toward the Air Force Base, didn't know what it was. And bless God, there are men. I'm not talking about no wimpy men. I'm talking about great big men. And it wasn't the men that I was scared of. It was the great big guns. And they looked down at us and said, "Where is your ID?" And I said, "Well, what ID? I got driver's license. I think I got some immunity shots. Or what kind of ID are you looking for?" I said, "I think we have taken a wrong turn somewhere." And they said, "That's all right. There's a space made available right here for people that have taken a wrong turn." I want to tell you that there is a space that has been made available for people that have taken a wrong turn, and it's called the blood. The blood. Hell is stable, but bless God, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Everything else may fail and falter around me, but on Jesus I stand. The sign said, "He is my rock and my salvation, and Him will I trust." This morning, I want to ask you a question. Come on, brother. Hell is not moving. I wish I had a house full of sinners, because hell is not moving for them. Well, I got a little bit of money in my pocket. Hell ain't moving. Well, I got a boat and some stuff I can put on collateral. Hell ain't moving. But bless God, this morning, you can take the detour.
Hallelujah.
And the U-turn. Why in the world you would want to put yourself and stay on a path called hell? Jesus said, and He related it several times, as outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, something is always going to be tormenting you in a place called hell. Preachers used to preach this, by the way. I don't know if anybody grew up under that or not, but preachers used to preach that hell was real. And it was hot. And it was out of darkness. And it was a place you didn't want to go to. And people would get saved because they didn't want to go to hell. I mean, they thank God for Jesus Christ being their Savior. But can I tell you, the reality of it is, I don't want to burn. I can't stand it hot. I don't want to burn. This morning, there are some of you in this place that are headed on a road to hell. And in about time, you made a U-turn. Doesn't matter what kind of category you're in. You could be a backbiter or a backstabber. You could be one of those religious ones. You think, man, I got the looks. But you're headed straight to hell. You could be one of those ones that are the wicked. Oh, I got plenty of time. I don't need a fool with this right now. Let me tell you something. Hell will never move. But if you walk out of this place without Christ, who knows but what your time may get cut short. And you may meet that unmovable object called hell. My God in heaven, I preach this message this morning not to hope that people would go to hell. But I preached this message this morning with all that I could. I'm sorry, I'm not an emotional cry kind of person, but I preached it with all that I could in hopes that you will avoid hell, that you'll take the U-turn, that you'll receive the blood of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place, you know who you are. You know who you are. You know right this minute that you're headed to hell. You know that if you were to die right now, you would die and go to hell. It's not moving for you. It's a great gulf that is fixed, and it's not moving.